Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Dumisane, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you, my brother?
Very well, thank you, my brother. How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad. How's your day going?
Not too shabby at all, actually.
Great.
Yeah, the Voice of Prophecy lesson this afternoon talks about the final heartbreak, Jesus' final heartbreak. And so today we move into that guide. It's actually guide number 23 of our Discovery series, which is entitled, What and Where is Hell? And our first chapter in this guide is about Jesus' final heartbreak. And so we begin with an introduction of this particular guide. So tell us about the story of Clayton Lockett as shared in the introduction.
So it's an interesting case that came up in about the year 2000, actually. Clayton Lockett, a man of Oklahoma, had actually, and it's a sad story though, but then Clayton Lockett was convicted of brutally murdering a woman by the name of Stephanie Neiman. Now, he had murdered Stephanie Neiman, and of course, at the time, there was still this in the state of Oklahoma, and of course, in the United States, well, maybe not all states, but in the state of Oklahoma, they said they still had the idea of the of what we call the death penalty. So, as you would say it, someone kills someone and is convicted. He was convicted and charged with the sentence of the death penalty. So, in the year 2014, 14 years later, actually, he had been on death row for 14 years, and now they were ready to execute him. But during his execution, they were trying a new lethal injection. Mm-hmm. They tried this new lethal injection that had never been tried before. Mm-hmm. Now, during this execution, this injection went horribly wrong, and so it actually turned out that his death was not slow, but was not a quick one, mm-hmm. but rather was lethal, and not only lethal, but also torturous. It was a very long process for him to die, and was painful as well. And they tried to put him out of his misery, but then at the end of the day, it was pure torture. Now, remember who we're talking about. Clayton Lockett was someone who was actually convicted. Did he murder this woman? Yes, he did, and he was found convicted and charged. And yet, with his in his death and in his execution, the whole world looked in on this death and said, but no, someone shouldn't have to be tortured like that, even yes though they have done something wrong, mm-hmm. and they have been convicted and tried. In a just system, they shouldn't have to be tortured long and hard like that. Now, I'd like to bring our, now this is what the guide brings our attention to, that the world sees that even a convicted criminal, remember Clayton Lockett was not innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
But even in his death, many people looked in, the justice system looked in and said, no, when someone is being executed, it must be done quickly and it must be precise and it must be, it shouldn't have to be torture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, remember, we are men. And we are sinful, selfish, and yet even we would have mercy on those who must be served justice. And yet we say that our God is a God of love, and we think that his mercy is somehow limited. We somehow think that when he executes, what he wants to do is torture forever and ever in the pits of some place where everyone who has sinned will burn forever and ever and ever. Now, I can see why people would run away from a God like this, but the beautiful thing is, this is not the God who the Bible describes, or even this is not what God says about himself. So this idea of the wicked burning in hell forever, that's not the case. But this is what we're actually looking at today. How is it that God's justice and his love can be married together? How is it that God serves out justice and still is just in doing so and still is loving?
Well, quite a lot to think about there, but hey, we're probably going to come back to it another time. Now, do tell us about what this lesson is talking about. Jesus' final heartbreak. What's this about?
So Jesus' final heartbreak. When we're looking at Jesus' final heartbreak, remember that, well, first of all, instead of just talking about his final heartbreak, we have to look at the fact that when Jesus was actually on the cross, which we've looked at in many other studies before, but when Jesus was on the cross dying for the sins of his children, or for those who would accept that sacrifice, and when he did actually die, it says that he, and many actually put it this way, when you go to in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, we see that Jesus actually cries out on the cross and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." When he was actually crying out on the cross for, during his torturous, and it was a torturous death on the cross. But then he also added this, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And right after that, we find that he actually yielded up his life. But then also when you look in John chapter 19 and verse 30 and 34, many physicians look at that and say that it wasn't the wounds and the wounds and the scars and the beatings that had killed or that made Christ die, but rather that he died of a broken heart. And this is proven still. Most physicians see this because when his side was pierced, there was water and blood that came out, which is actually a sign of that, which what physicians would say, well, there's a medical term for that, but for simplicity, we'll just say it of a broke, that is extreme breaking of his heart. And so all that stress on him, and yet we recognize that Jesus, when you look at the way that God has tried to save all of humanity, you cannot say that God does not love. After all, when you look at Ezekiel in chapter 33 and verse 11, if you don't mind me reading that out, is that right?
That's all right. That's all right.
All right. It says, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his ways and that he live." And even when you go to 2 Peter and verse 3 and verse, I mean, chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but rather that all should come to repentance." Now, if God did not want us, if God did not want to have us in his kingdom, the same kingdom which we talked about yesterday in our lesson, if he did not want us there, then he would, in the new, to join him in the new heavens and the new earth, he would not send his son on such a huge sacrificial task. He would not lay down his own life if he did not want us. So when we recognize one place where it says the Lord will come, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements melt away with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. We recognize that still, when this actually happens, it will be together with sin, and sin will be no more, but all those who hold on to their sin as well, rather than clinging onto Christ, will also be thrown into that lake of fire. But we recognize that, remember, this is something that, this is the death of those who Christ loves so much. So when we recognize that he laid down his life for every one of us, and we still decide to cling on to our sin, and when he destroys sin, he ends up destroying us as well. That's something that breaks his heart. And this is not something that we should look at and say that somehow God is laughing as his children are perishing. No, this breaks his heart. And so that is the final heartbreak of Christ.
Yeah. Now, if Christ wants us all to be saved, why doesn't he just save all of humanity? I mean, surely no one wants to die the second death or eternal death. And surely he actually has the capacity to just save everybody and just work on everybody's hearts. And all of us are saved and it's a done deal. And we start afresh and then we go for it again.
So that's a very interesting question. Why is it that why doesn't he just save everyone? Why doesn't he just take everyone with? Remember that the idea of salvation is not just salvation. It's not about salvation in sin. It's about salvation from sin. The idea of all of this is, yes, to restore his people to himself, but it's also to get rid of sin. So yes, he could save everyone. He could just decide, you know what, it's okay, everyone come home. But remember then, the idea is to get rid of sin. Let me put like this. In the justice system that we have, even in our world today, people serve their sentence and then they're released out into the world. But if they continue to violate and continue to violate the law of the land, even the law of the land says no, this person has to be kept away from the rest of society. So yes, there is love that God actually shows, and there is his mercy, and yet at the same time God is just as well. So let me put it like this, that rather the thing that God wants to get rid of is sin. And if we choose to say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with your kingdom. I do not want to be put into your, in, I don't want to be, I don't, let me put it like this, if it's okay to say it this way, Zama.
Mm-hmm.
If we say, I hate God, and then he says, well, I don't mind, come live with me anyway, and you live with him forever. Do you think that will be the best? I mean, do you really think that that will be, do you feel like that would be heaven to someone who hates God?
Mm-mm.
That would almost be torture.
Yeah.
It would almost be torture to be in a place that you really don't want to be in. So I would put it this way to say that what God is trying. So let me put it very simply.
Mm-hmm.
What God is trying to get rid of is sin.
Yeah.
And if we try to hold on to our sin, when sin is being burnt up, we will go with it. However, can we let go of our sin? Can we choose to let go of sin and cling to Christ? Yes, we can. That's a decision that is open to, and an invitation that is open to every single one of us. But we have to choose. He will not force his love upon us.
Beautiful stuff there. We have to choose, and he will not force his love upon us. I think he's gracious, and I think he's kind, and he's a gentleman, man, not forcing himself on any one of us. And we've got to make that choice. And it only becomes a beautiful living together with him once we voluntarily make that choice ourselves. Well, my brother Tumsani, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
No, thank you very much, Zama, and thank you very much, dear listener. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.